Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you all are here this morning. Just want to share a couple of announcements. Just a reminder that our annual meeting will be on December the 7th. So please make sure that you have all of your reports into the church office, but that's going to be on December 7th again. Also, just a correction from last week, our pre-Thanksgiving dinner is going to be on November the 23rd after service. I have been told by our resident chef that there is no need for anyone to make any side dishes on your own, but if you could contribute the ingredients for those dishes to be made and get it into him, that he will make all the food. He doesn't want to warm any food up, but he wants to make it all. So if you have the ingredients, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, whatever it is, get the ingredients to him and he will do all the cooking. Am I right there, Franklin? Okay, very well. Thank you. But again, that will be November the 23rd after the worship service. Other things going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church, please take the time to read your bulletin and go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening at Albany Presbyterian Church. We will be having one more special announcement later on in the worship service by our clerk of session, and we will have that before we do the sermon. So please stay tuned. Friends, at this time we have a special announcement from our clerk of session, Elder Ken McEwen.
Thank you, Randy. Beyond 2025. Since the founding of our church in 1898, there have been two campaigns. One to pay off the mortgage in 1926, and the second in the early 1980s to refurbish our organ. Today, we are initiating a third campaign. We're calling it Beyond 2025. The campaign begins today, November 16, and it runs through January 16, 2026. Our hope is to raise $100,000. Why are we doing this? Well, we're challenged financially in the current expense fund. We are accessing our endowment fund by tens of thousands of dollars on an annual basis. And we have infrastructure issues throughout the building. So where will the money go that we raise? $30,000 will go to the current expense fund. $30,000 to replenish the endowment fund. $30,000 to identified building projects. And $10,000 to our mission and benevolence fund as we continue to support our missionaries here and abroad. The next day or two, you're going to receive a letter in the mail with a return envelope. Here's your envelope, along with a pledge card. We're asking each one of you to prayerfully consider how you can support our campaign. We'd like you to check the box with the amount that you are able to give and return it to the address, which is the church's address. We will continue to keep you updated on what we've raised. And we hope that we'll be able to reach our goal of $100,000. It's a stretch goal, and we recognize all of that. But we know that God has provided for us as a congregation in the past. You, our congregation, have risen to the occasion and we look forward to this to continue to do so. Should we not raise $100,000, the amount that we do will be divided equally amongst those four funds and the four funds. In addition to that, a member of our Board of Trustees and Randy will be meeting with the finance chair of the Presbytery of Philadelphia with an outline of the projects that we hope or that we need to fix, with the hope of two things. One, that the Presbytery will forgive the loan that we currently have with them. And secondly, to give us a grant to help us support these funds. Again, we thank you for the giving that you have given, what you continue to do, the service and the leadership that you provide to this congregation. And we look forward to the next 3 months as we seek to do God's will again by raising income so that we can continue to move forward beyond 2025. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you very much, Ken, for that very important announcement. And as Ken said, we'll be keeping you updated as the time goes on as to the where we are at in reaching our goals. I see the kids are already gone. They've already anticipated my announcement, so very good.
For our scripture this morning from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard it in the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree shall be the days of my people be, and my chosen shall live, shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their children with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the servant's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 19th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 23 through 30. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, we won't be long here this morning. But I do like what Jesus says in our gospel reading. With God, all things are possible. We're reminded this morning that we serve a God who is bigger than any challenge that we might confront. Indeed, the whole biblical story is the story of how God calls human beings in the midst of great adversities, in the midst of great difficulties and obstacles, and sends them forth to do what is seemingly impossible. Take Abraham, for instance. Father Abraham, as we say in our Vacation Bible School, God calls Abraham to be the father of many nations. God tells him that his descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky. But the challenge, of course, is that Abraham and his wife Sarah do not have any children. And they are already up there in age. They are already quite old. And so you might be saying, what Abraham probably said, how in the world is God going to pull that off? How are you going to do it? And we know, of course, that with human beings, it would be impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Or take the story of Moses. God tells Moses to go to Egypt and liberate his people, the Israelites. It's a pretty straightforward mission. The challenge, of course, is that Egypt is the most powerful nation in the world, and Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the world. And Moses is not the kind of person you would send to convey any type of message. He's inarticulate. He stutters. And even if by some miracle Pharaoh lets the Hebrews go, the Hebrew people are just a collection of impoverished, enslaved people. They don't have any resources, any money that will allow them to be able to start over someplace. But when the story is over, not only are the Israelites released from slavery, but the Egyptians have showered them with gold and silver and all manner of precious gems. And you might say, how in the world was that possible? How in the world was it possible that the oppressors not only let the people free, but shower them with gifts? And we know that it's impossible on our own. But with God, all things are possible, because that's the business that God is in. God is in the business of doing the impossible. And of course, there's our Old Testament lesson this morning from the prophet Isaiah. People are coming back from spending decades in Babylonian captivity. They have all of these wonderful expectations of what Jerusalem's going to look like when they finally get there. But when they finally get there, Jerusalem is a mess. The temple has been destroyed. The walls surrounding the city are in terrible despair. And the people are given the daunting task of repairing the city. It seems like an impossible task. They don't have any resources. They don't have what they think they need in order to do it. But the Lord says, in effect, have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten what I can do with you? This might be a daunting task, but with me, all things are possible. Indeed, if everything were smooth and easy and without any challenges, there would be no Bible and there would be no faith. And that continues to hold true for us as well. As you heard this morning, we have our own challenges before us. Many of us preachers don't like talking a lot about money. We would much rather be talking about other things. But sometimes we have to talk about money, and sometimes we have to talk about giving. We have to talk about it because the Bible talks about it. The Bible says more about money than it does some of the other things which often occupy our attention. I was at a party once, and there was a man there at the party. He was a local businessman. I think he owned a car dealership or whatever, but he discovered that I was a pastor, and so he used the occasion to question me. He said, "Do you take up an offering every Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah, we take one up every Sunday." And then he turned to me and said, "I thought it was supposed to be about God and not about money." I said, "That's true, but my congregation kind of likes to be warm in the wintertime. They like for the lights to come on when they need some light. If I could convince them to sit in a cold, dark building, then we might not take up that many offerings. But yes, sometimes it's about money." We're a small church, of course, and we don't have a lot of money. But we do have capital expenses, and some of those you know about. Every winter, I kind of dread the coming of the cold weather, because I know not only is there's going to be a significant heating bill, but I always brace myself for what might be going wrong, what might possibly go wrong. The heater or the boiler might not work, or we might have another leak, or some kind of emergency might present itself. And so those things have to be dealt with and fixed, and we do a good job at that. We thank our trustees for the wonderful job they do in keeping the building in some repair, but it does take resources in order to do that. But of course, ultimately, the man was right. It's not just about money, but it's about ministry. It's about the church, this church, continuing to be a light that shines in the midst of this community. It's about this church continuing to be a place in this community where young people can come and find a safe haven, can come and play basketball and do other things here in this place. It's about this church continuing to be a place where people in this community can come when they need some help, when they need some assistance. When they might not have anyone else to turn to, they often come to this place and they look for help. It's about this church being a place where we gather together and not only worship God together, but where we come to live out what it means to be God's people, what it means to love each other and care for each other, and to be God's people in the midst of this community. I am convinced that God wants this congregation to be here, to be in this place. And when I mean this church, this congregation, I mean all of you. God wants you to be here. God wants you to be a part of this community. Your presence in this community says a lot about what it means to be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw a picture on Facebook not long ago. It was a picture of one of our members. It's a picture of Brandon with one of the kids who grew up in this church. And the young man was probably about 6 or 7. He's grown up now. But he's about 6 or 7. And seeing that picture Brandon and that young man was deeply heartening, because that young man had the opportunity to interface with people who took time out to be with him, to care for him, to teach him about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in his life. And that young man will forever remember that. Just as that are other people who come here to this church, who've been a part of this church, who will remember what the people of this congregation have meant for to them and have done for them, and the experiences that they've had in this household of faith. And so we give God thanks that we have had the opportunity to do God's work here, and we give God thanks for all the ways that God continues to sustain us. But we do have some daunting challenges before us, but we know that God is bigger than all the challenges that we have, and we know that with God all things are possible. But there's a funny thing about God. God never chooses to do the impossible by God's self. God always chooses to partner with human agents to accomplish God's purposes in the world. You know, I'm sure that God could have accomplished what God wanted to do without Abraham. I'm sure that God could have done what God wanted to do without Moses. I'm sure God didn't need the Israelites to rebuild Jerusalem. God could have handled it all on God's own. God could have done it all God's self. But God always chooses to work through us human beings. I think it's called having skin in the game. God wants to make sure that we all have some skin in the game. And that's where our faith and trust in God come in. One big part of the partnership for us as we go forward with the campaign that Ken talked about is for us to pray. I would invite you to pray for this endeavor, to pray for this campaign, to keep this congregation lifted up in your prayers as we seek to be faithful to doing what God has called us to do. But not only to pray, but to prayerfully consider the extent that you might be able to participate in this campaign. We give God thanks for all the things that people do in this congregation, for all the ways that people give of themselves, for all the ways that people give of their time, for all the ways that people give of the talents that God has bestowed upon each and every one of you, and for all the ways that people share of their resources. As Ken mentioned, we haven't done this too many times before. We haven't had that many capital campaigns. And so we know that there will be challenges. But we also know that God is bigger than all of our challenges. We know that God is a God that can do all things. We know that with God, all things are possible. And so we know that with God moving in the midst of us, and with the faithfulness that God has called us to, we know that God will help us as we seek to continue to do the work that God has called us to do in the midst of this community. And so again, I hope that the Lord will place it upon your heart to continue to be faithful in all the ways that God calls us to be faithful, and that you would continue to consider how you could help as we go forward with this capital campaign. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you again for all the ways that you have been faithful to us as your people. You never promised us that things will be easy. In fact, we know that things are often difficult for those who undertake to serve you and to be your faithful servants in the world. But you have always promised that you would equip us and give us what we need to do the work that you have called us to do. And so it is out of your faithfulness to us that we endeavor to be faithful to you. Faithful in serving in the capacities that you have called us to serve. Faithful in utilizing the talents that you have given us to be your agents in the midst of this community. And faithful in utilizing the resources that you give to us to do the work that you have called us to do. We look forward to your coming future. Your coming future where this world is healed of all the things that make it such a daunting and challenging place. Your coming future where children can play in safety. Your coming future where the lion lays down with the lamb. Your coming future where there's enough for everyone. Your coming future where no one is left behind. But you have called us to be people who live into that future even now in the ways that we seek to be faithful to you. And so once again, Lord, we thank you. And we ask that you open our hearts and our minds as we go forward serving you in the midst of this congregation and in the midst of this community. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray this morning. Amen.